हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so now we had after the fight, the kings got upset. They attacked Drupad. Then Bhima and Arjuna came back to assist in the fight. So then Arjuna fought with Karna. The other kings then kind of mock fought with the Brahmins so that no one got injured, but, you know, still to keep the flavor going because the Brahmins were, so you have to do something. And then Then finally, when Karna saw he did not have the upper hand, he was not going to win. So then he stopped and said, oh, so then you must be, demigod or Indra or, the personification of martial arts or Krishna himself. Because in Karna's mind, no one else is as good as him. These are the only ones that he can't say he's better than. He can't say he's better than God. He can't say he's better than personification of martial arts. He can't say he's better than Parasaram because he already killed millions of Kshatriyas better than him. So he's kind of got to let that one go like that. And so then that just leaves Drona, who's there, and he's obviously not Drona, and Arjuna. But he just says, I'm just a Brahmin. I'm not a demigod. I'm not a celestial like this. I'm not a divinity. I'm not Krishna. But we're just a Brahmin who, tries to serve our guru. So then in that way, then he bowed and he left. He turned back from the battle. So meanwhile, because that's going on in theater, that the other theater of battle is Bhima and Shalya. Elsewhere, Bhima and Shalya were still engaged in fierce hand-to-hand combat. Locked together, they stamped and rolled about the arena like a pair of maddened elephants fighting for supremacy. Their roars and the sound of their blows filled the stadium, sometimes pushing, sometimes dragging, and sometimes throwing the other down. They fought with unflagging energy. Right, so they were not getting, they were, so much energy was being, expended, and they were beating each other, very strongly, but neither of them lost any energy. They remained the same. They struck each other with the force of thunderbolts, laughing loudly as they fought. Suddenly, Bhima lifted Shalya high above his head and whirled him about. He threw the king to a distance and left him lying stunned. I think it's mentioned it's about 100 feet or something. So it was quite a distance. That's why he'd be stunned, because if he just threw him over to there, then he threw him. So in other words, they're fighting because they can't get the advantage. So he got an advantage, or once he could just grab him, pick him up, spin him around, because if you spin him, you get disoriented. And then once he's spun, then he throws, right? Remembering him to be Madri's brother, Bhima did not continue his attack upon Shalya, right? So in other words, he's an uncle like that. So he thought, he came to fight, so in a fight, then Kshatriyas have to fight. But since he didn't go up there and continue, because if he's dazed, that's when he can go and catch him. But, he just left him. The kings were amazed to see both Karna and Shalya matched by the two Brahmins. So one was an archery, prowess, and the other was one physical prowess. Like a Shalya will be famous, right? They looked in awe upon Bhima and Arjuna, who stood together ready for further assaults, right? So that's there. He's done, so they're ready. Anything else? And if they're all going to leave Drupad alone, then they'll go back to the potter's house. Surely these two are not Brahmins. Who could fight with Karna except Drona or Arjuna, right? Because they're leaving out that, you know, one of the demigods showed up. Who could throw down Shaya other than the mighty Balaram or Bhima, right? So they know he's not Balaram, so that leaves Bhima. And they know he's not Drona, so that leaves Arjuna. None could face Duryodhana except the unconquerable Krishna. Let us establish their lineage before we continue. You know, and the other kings agreed. It was not wise to fight with Brahmins, even if they were offensive. But if these two proved to belong to another class, then the fight could continue with full force. Because right now, they're being careful because they're not sure. Right? And so the if they are Brahmins, then that full rage, that fire, you know, that spirit doesn't come up. So then that's the whole point. With full force, then we can fight. So let's find out. They don't seem to be Brahmins. If they're Brahmins, we stop the fight. If they're Kshatriyas, then we can continue, right? You know, so anytime there's an opportunity for a good challenge. Seeing the kings hesitating, Krishna came forward and spoke to them. Right? So Krishna sees a gap there that they're not sure, so he steps out. But if these two... Oh, okay. Came forward and spoke to them. O monarchs, the maiden has been fairly and wonderfully won by the Brahmin. There is no need for further fighting. Let us not blight this sacred occasion by unnecessary bloodshed, especially by assaulting the Brahmins. Right, so Krishna comes out and he says that he's been won fairly because they're fighting, but they may have forgotten what they're fighting about. They're fighting just because they're upset. So the point is he fairly won. The contest was there. He did the contest. The contest looked successful. Drupad accepted. Draupadi accepted. And so it's done. You know, so now why unnecessarily fight over something that's already done? There's a saying, why fight over spilt milk? It's gone. And so he said, and especially by assaulting the Brahmins. So he didn't say they are Brahmins, but he said, especially, you know, why fight like this? Especially if it's going to cause a problem for the Brahmins. So that they have to agree to, right? So all these points he has to agree. The maiden has been fairly, you know, fairly won, yes. And wonderfully won, yes. And by the person who's come as a Brahmin, yes. You know, it's a sacred occasion, so why make it, you know, bad? Everyone will just remember the fight rather than, you know, so many wonderful things. And unnecessary bloodshed. Why fight here? This is not a religious war here. This is just, you know, people are upset. With gentle words and arguments, Krishna succeeded in dissuading the kings from further aggression. Gradually, they put away their weapons and left the arena. As they went out, they talked together in amazement, wondering who the two mighty-armed Brahmins might be. Right? So since Krishna kind of came and just leave it like this, then they just went on thinking maybe they're the Brahmins. Because it hasn't been arranged that they can come out yet. So they're still incognito. So then it's better it's left like that. Chapter 11. The Pandavas wed Draupadi. Bhima and Arjuna, both bruised and bloody from the battle with the kings, turned and walked towards the stadium's southern gate. They were surrounded by Brahmins who joyfully praised them. With difficulty, the two brothers pushed their way through the crowd and out of the arena, right? Because all the Brahmins are coming in and, you know, like this. And so then they're very happy, right? Because at one of these, the Brahmins just watch, the Kshatriyas. Now, it's one thing is, oh, the Kshatriyas are doing well and a Brahmin came forward. Okay, you know, it's no big deal. But here it's that none of the Kshatriyas could complete the challenge. And here a lone Brahmin went out and did it. And then the whole host of Kshatriyas are fighting, and just that Brahmin with his brother come out, and they take care. Now that's, you know, that's special. Appearing like the sun and moon emerging from behind clouds. Some way from the stadium, the other Pandavas and Draupadi were waiting for them. Right, because they had all gone to the gate, with Draupadi and the five brothers, then Bhima and Arjuna went back in. Well, they you know, went outside a little bit and waited there. And so then they came out and met them at that side. So then Yudhishthira with the twins then were there and taking care of Draupadi. Seeing them returning safely from the fight, they embraced the two heroes, and together they proceeded to the potter's house. At the house, Kunti, who had not accompanied her son to the Swayamvar for fear of discovery, felt herself trembling with anxiety. It was past sunset, and her sons had still not returned. Because normally these things will go on till sunset, and then you'll stop. You know, at the twilight, the lamps are there, and it looks very beautiful. But once it gets dark, then it's you know, how will people get home, this, that. Maybe there's some light in the stadium, but out on the road. So generally speaking, everything always finishes before dark, so that people can be back at their house by dark, like that. What could have delayed them? Perhaps the Kauravas had recognized them and had killed them. Or maybe the Rakshasas had come together to avenge the killing of Hidimba and Baka. Right? So, you know, for a mother, at least she can remember all kinds of things. You know, it could be that. Kunti remembered Vyasadeva's assurances. Could the great sage have been wrong? Right? So he's saying everything's going to work out. But then she's saying, but you know, it's not, you know, she's not seeing it, so could he be wrong? You know, so all these doubts will come up. As Kunti sat in the still evening air, lost in thoughts of affection for her children, Arjuna suddenly entered the hut and called out, "Mother, we have returned bringing excellent alms. Just see the wonderful jewel we have obtained today." Right? So normally she'd go, "Oh, yes, let's see what is there." That would be the normal thing. You know, normally when they go out for alms, it'll be, you know, some rice, some dal, some vegetables, some things like this. And, you know, maybe a gumsha or a coconut or, you know, things like that they'll get. Or they went there and maybe they got, you know, so much riches and all that, but it's something special to see. And so the mother, from seeing it, then afterwards, then they decide what to do with it, right? Because she's been in so much anxiety. Then here. Filled with relief and happiness to hear her son's voice, Kunti called back, "Share amongst yourself whatever you have acquired." Right? Because she's the mother, she just wants to take care so she can, you know, be kind to them and bless them and all that. So she just immediately responds to that. If they had come back at the regular time, she most likely would have come out, looked in that, seen Draupadi, and then like this. She looked up and saw Arjuna enter her room accompanied by Draupadi, who immediately bowed low at her feet, right? Because they went to the Swayamvar, right? You know, it's very obvious if they come home with a girl that, you know, there's something going on here, right? The princess, especially if it's Draupadi, because it's Draupadi's Swayamvar, right? The princess had learned the identity of the brothers and was joyful to know Arjuna had won her, right? Because she didn't know up to that point. It's just that her father had agreed because no one else is qualified, and this Brahmin looked like he was, you know, very qualified in his behavior, his movements, his physical features, his talent, his prowess, everything was there. And so father then recommended that, you know, he seems to be the best of someone here that you could marry. So she accepted. So it's only then, after they're sitting and talking, then they hear, you know, on the way back. Because now she's their wife, so she will know, right? It's not that she's just coming there and hang out and talk a little bit, then go back to the palace and never see them again, right? She greeted the venerable Kuru queen with appropriate words of respect, right? Because now she knows who she is, she can say the proper words. Otherwise, she'll just deal as if she's a Brahmin, nicely like that. When Kunti saw the white-robed princess bowing before her, she gasped in horror. "What have I said? How can you all share this woman?" Kunti caught the still smiling Draupadi by the hand and went out to see Yudhishthira. "My words have never been false," right? Because Kshatriyas, they're very careful what they speak, and what they speak has to be something that is correct, that, you know, is correct by just a statement, or it's correct in that it's something too appropriate to obtain. Because if they don't, they just speak all kinds of things, then people don't take them seriously. It's like politicians. One day they say this, one day they say that. So no one takes them that seriously. So but we see with the kings, the citizens have to take them seriously. So everything they say has to be correct. So they have to be very thoughtful, very sense controlled like this. They can't just say anything they like. Indeed, I cannot utter untruth. When Arjuna said he had brought alms, I had no idea he meant the princess, which she didn't, but because she was distracted. Otherwise, if in a regular thing, why would he mention the alms as, you know, something very special and a jewel and this and that? You know, it means it's like brought home this fabulous potato or something, or, you know, what are they, the jewel of potatoes or the jewel of eggplants. So, you know, it's like that. You know, so why would he use that? Why would they be so joyful? Especially they're coming late, right? Normally they come in and, oh yeah, we got stock and this and that, and, you know, be more sober. So he was very, very, called out, you know, excellent alms, you know, the wonderful jewel, you know, like this. So then, like that. So she didn't know. So the way he said it, because it's something special, especially when you're dealing with ladies and all that, much of the time you use indirect statements and all that, something poetic, something, you know, like that, instead of just saying, you know, Ma, we won the Swayamvar. You know, they don't talk like that. And I replied, share it among yourselves. It must therefore be so. What then should be done? Kunti felt her religious principles threatened. She valued truth above all else, right? Because that's a kshatriya, it's truth, it has to be. So that's why they have to follow Brahmins, because then the truth will be connected with the transcendental. Otherwise, the truth will just be practical. Like we see Dhritarashtra, his Brahmin, Kanaka, then he speaks truth according to Niti. So he never gets above Niti. But you see, Domya is a great personality, so then he's a devotee, Pandavas are devotees, so then following this Brahmin, they'll go back to Godhead. So then that's the whole point, is that they value truth, but it's just a matter of what level of truth, right? So devotees will be the highest truth, and then the others will be the standard religious principles. Even in jest, she never lied. Fearful that her virtue had suffered a diminution, she looked anxiously at Yudhishthira. Tell me, dear son, how my words may prove true, and at the same time this princess may not be touched by sin. It was virtually unheard of for a woman to marry more than one man. Marrying five men was unthinkable. Right, more than one, you know, so if she has two husbands, you know, five husbands, right? Yudhishthira looked thoughtfully. He consoled his mother and assured her that neither she nor Draupadi would be touched by sin. He turned to Arjuna and said, Dear Phalguni, you have won this maiden. It is therefore proper that you marry her with due ritual. Kindle the sacred fire and accept her hand with the blessings of the Brahmins. Right, so he's saying, don't worry about it. You know, she or Draupadi won't be because like that. Because, she, you know, if you look at it, she didn't know. Right, so something that you said without the proper information, you can't be held responsible for. Right, and Draupadi is not going to marry everybody, so because Arjuna wants, so he's going to marry. Because she said, you all share, but the point was that it wasn't that they all drew out and got Arjuna. He won the Swayamvar. Arjuna was surprised. O king, do not hurl me into the path of the wicked. Onto the path of the wicked. Your command is not consistent with virtue. In my view, how could I accept this princess in your presence while you remain unmarried? Right? Because the rule is among the brothers is that the eldest brother marries first, then the second brother, then the third, then the fourth. If you have a brother marry out of that, the younger brother married before, then both that younger brother and that brother he married before, they'll have problems like that. You know, eventually it can work out, you know, once the brother gets married and that, but they'll have problems. The ones above that won't have a problem. Does that make sense? So the first brother gets married, but then the third brother marries before the second. It's the second and third that'll have the problem, not the first. So, yeah. Surely you should accept her hand. Then, if you so command, Bhima may marry her, and only then myself and the twins. So now, he's going on, the mother had said all of you, but he's saying, I can't marry her. You have to marry her. Then Bhima could marry her. Then I could marry her. Right? Hearing Arjuna's respectful words, the other Pandavas glanced at Draupadi. Right? Because Arjuna won, and if he married her, none of the others would complain. Right? Now, one may say, but wait, Bhima married Hidimbi, but she's not human. She's a Rakshasi. They have a whole different standard like that. They don't work by these kind of things. So that doesn't really count. You know, him marrying equally, you know, minded, qualified princess, then that you'll say is then will be that marriage. Otherwise, the marriage with Hidimbi, that's a different. Means it's a bona fide marriage, but it's just they work in a different kind of, you know, scale. They had all expected that she would become Arjuna's wife. No one was thinking that. They were all interested, but the point is, you know, these young men, they'll be interested in a qualified girl. But the point is because Arjuna's participating, he won, then they're all considering she's going to be Arjuna's wife. And even Bhima going out and helping, it's just because he's helping his brother, just like the two of them went to help their father-in-law. Right? Because even if Arjuna marries the daughter, because they're brothers, he's still a father-in-law for all of them. Like that. You know, it's just the broader sense in the Vedic cultures. You know, it's like, you know, someone in the family. You know, they're all like relatives. Like even you're from the same village, then you're brothers. Like that. Or same community, you're brothers. Like that. But as they looked at her, the Panchala princess returned their glances. All the brothers felt their hearts invaded by love. Because before that, then no one had thought like that, no one, and so she didn't reciprocate like that. They had never seen such a maiden. It was as if she had been personally fashioned by the Creator himself. She was as resplendent as the goddess Lakshmi, Vishnu's eternal consort. Right? Because she's actually an expansion of Lakshmi. You know, she'll be a jiva, but she's had the potency expansion, so it's of Sachi, Indra's wife. Indra's wife is what you call Dana Lakshmi. You know, you always have that Lakshmi that's there with the elephants that are showering gold and that. She has the two lotuses and that, and, you know, all the Indians are all, you know, doing their like this. That's actually Indra's wife. She takes care of all these people's mundane money. Lakshmi, Vishnu's consort, takes care of money in context of Krishna. She, you know, the money for devotees. It means she's in charge. So therefore, that Sachi has the potency to give that, to distribute this kind of wealth that's coming from Lakshmi. But she doesn't do it herself. Just like Yogamaya manages the spiritual world, and her expansion, Mahamaya, manages the material world. So it's the same kind of principle. And Draupadi is a portion of Indrani, like that. So she's actually the goddess of fortune, you know, that deals with, you know, just material prosperity. Yudhishthira could understand his brother's minds. He recalled Vyasadeva's words. Even though he had advised Arjuna to try to win Draupadi's hand, the sage had seemed to intimate that Draupadi should become the wife of all of them. Because he mentioned about she's going to be, you know, be your wife. He didn't say Arjuna, but he said Arjuna should take part. So at the time, you don't put the two together. Who puts that together like that? It's just that he's going to be, you know, somebody's wife, and Arjuna takes part. So then they're thinking, naturally, she'll be Arjuna's wife. You know, if the opportunity comes up. They go there and just see. They don't think they're going to be taking part. Only at the end, then they think, okay, we have an opportunity. Although rare, such an act need not be unrighteous if sanctioned by an authority like Vyasadeva, especially when performed in order to pursue some other higher religious purpose. Right? So if Vyasadeva authorizes it, appears he has, you know, I'm sure that they'll call him and discuss it with him. So because it's authorized by authority, then it's something that's not generally done, because who can deal in these ways? So you're dealing about very rare cases. So it's not something that, you know, we're going to be involved in like this, you know, as the general humans and all that. Because you see, the Pandavas, they're from the heavenly planets, you know, their parentage. Draupadi's from the fire, like that. So she's also coming from that divine origin. like that. There are, you know, in this we'll see is that they were Indra's previously. She's the goddess of fortune, you know, means their wife. So even though they're all Indras, then the same potency is their wife. So she happens to be the personality, so then she can deal with all of them. If Draupadi became the wife of only one of them, it would most certainly create rivalry and dissension among them. Right? You can see is why, you know, it created dissension amongst all the Kshatriyas, right? Just there on that point. But then later the gambling match, and then later even at the battle, you know, which is, you know, much, much later, then who was the one? He was able to stop the chakra, Jayadratha. Even he tried to kidnap her again. She's already been married and kid, you know, it's just, you know, these guys incorrigible. And Kunti's words would also become false. This seemed to be a divine arrangement. Making up his mind, Yudhishthir said, "We shall all marry the blessed Draupadi." Okay, so we're going to here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.